Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us open our hearts, our minds, and our eyes to see the generous gifts of God and respond with praise and thanksgiving. Gracious God, for all you have poured out upon us, we give you thanks. For your word that has inspired and fed your people, for those who had vision to record it, skill to translate it, and presence to share it, we give you thanks. For your love that has surrounded and enfolded us, that has given us joy, confirmed our faith, nurtured our love, and given us enduring hope in the gift of the promise of eternal life. We give you thanks. To you be all praise and glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of God has dawned upon the world through our Saviour Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for us to purify a people as his own. Let us confess our sins. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you in sorrow for our selfishness, in regret for our greed, in despair over our blindness and deafness to the needs of those around us. With penitent hearts, we seek your forgiveness and your blessing to make us more generous, more giving, more able to see, and more willing to listen. Amen. Our God of generosity forgives those who truly repent. Our God lifts the burdens from our hearts and the blindness from our eyes and sets us free to be the people we are called to be. Amen. Blessed is the Lord, for he has heard the voice of our prayer. Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy, and in our song we will praise our God.
This first reading is taken from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, 13 to 17. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved to the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teaching we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter, and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our psalm this morning, our verses taken from Psalm 17, and we begin by saying the refrain together. Deliver me, O Lord, by your hand. Hear my just cause, O Lord, consider my complaint. Listen to my prayer, which comes not from lying lips. Let my vindication come forth from your presence. Let your eyes behold what is right. Weigh my heart Examine me by night, refine me, and you will find no impurity in me. Deliver me, O Lord, by your hand. My mouth does not trespass for earthly rewards. I have heeded the words of your lips. My footsteps hold fast in the ways of your commandments. My feet have not stumbled in your paths. Deliver me, O Lord, by your hand. I call upon you, O God, for you will answer me. Incline your ear to me and listen to my words. Show me your marvelous loving kindness, O Saviour of those who take refuge at your right hand, from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who assault me, from my enemies who surround me to take my life. Deliver me, O Lord, by your hand. Gracious Lord, deliver us from all envious thoughts, and when we are tempted by the desire for wealth, let us see your face, for your abundance is enough to clothe our lack, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 20, beginning to read at verse 27. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise her offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and the third married her, and the same way the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise. For he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. To be honest, I have found myself feeling a bit wobbly of late. Not really and truly wobbly, but just a little bit wobbly nonetheless. I have felt quite low and despondent with what is going on in the world, in the life of our nation and in the church, especially all the things I have seen and read about the Christian conservative right of the church in America. And it's not really like me. I'm a glass half full kind of person. I never see the hole in the donut, just the donut. I am an optimist. Actually, someone was once very angry with me and shouted that I was the most irritatingly optimistic person she had ever met, and it was so annoying. Praise indeed. So it is strange for me to feel anything less than excited about the future and full of hope for what is ahead. I think some of my disquiet has to do with the constant amount of news that comes my way. Amidst all the rapid changes and shenanigans that took place within the Conservative Party, my phone was constantly receiving updates, which I found impossible to ignore. I wanted to know what was going on. I wanted to know what was going to happen. I found myself getting caught up in all the speculation, and at the same time, I found it completely and utterly depressing. The news last night coming from the church in some parts of America, I found especially alarming. These people are Christians, and so am I. How is it possible to proclaim to be followers of Jesus Christ and yet interpret the Bible and the life and teachings of Jesus so differently? Rumors, speculation, and uncertainty can cause confusion. It makes people feel worried and upset, and it's not a good place to be. I imagine this is what the Christians in Thessalonica felt like too. They were feeling unsettled and upset. Thessalonica was the proud capital of the Roman province of Macedonia and had a population of over 100,000. Paul, Timothy, and Silas had preached the gospel in the synagogue over three Sabbaths, and a number of Jews and God-fearing Gentiles had come to believe in Jesus. Paul and his friends had had to leave Thessalonica prematurely because of some political and religious troubles and tensions within the city. But Paul was so concerned for the new Christians in Thessalonica, he sent Timothy back. Timothy reported that generally the church community was doing well. However, not everything was rosy. Some members of the church had died, and the church felt confused about what would happen to the Christians who had died when Jesus returned. Some thought that the Christians who had died would miss out on all the blessings of Jesus' return, and therefore they had plunged themselves into grieving for them. They were very upset. In addition, there was some confusion within the church about what would happen to any of them when Jesus returned. It was all a bit of a mess. So Paul wrote to them to try and reassure them and put them straight. He says in verses 2 and 15, "Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed, but instead stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you in person and by letter." Don't be so easily shaken. Don't be so easily unsettled. The translated meaning of the word shaken means a violent movement like an earthquake. There are several apocalyptic pictures of being shaken in the Bible. Matthew recounts Jesus' teaching about the future when he says, "The sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken." And in Revelation, John says, "Then the stars of the sky fell to the earth like green figs falling from a tree shaken by a strong wind." I like that. Figs shaken off the branches of a tree by a strong wind. The writer of Revelation had obviously been to Withley. This is a picture of what it means to be shaken. The people of Thessalonica knew in real life what it means to be shaken. This letter was written sometime between AD 49 and 51, and Tacitus described in AD 51 an ominous year filled with earthquakes. They had literally been shaken by earthquakes. But the shaking the Christians were experiencing within their church had caused fear and alarm, and it was all to do with their interpretation of teaching. They felt scared and uncertain. They didn't know what to believe or how to act. It would be quite easy to look at the Thessalonians' concerns and wonder what all the fuss was about. After all, we have been waiting for over 2,000 years for Jesus to return. But for this new congregation, it was a very big deal. Each person was trying to figure out what to do or what to believe. Should they work or should they wait? Should they provide for those who weren't working, or should they try and make them work? Had they already been made perfect? And if so, why did everyone appear to be the same? Paul takes his time to help them think through where they have got confused. He also spends a lot of time encouraging them not to be afraid and to stand firm. Do not be so easily shaken or alarmed. In other words, do not be afraid. Did you know that the command, "Do not be afraid," is the most common command in the Bible? Do not be afraid. Do not fear. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I hear those words, I can't help but think, well, that is easier said than done. You don't just stop being afraid and easily shaken because someone has told you not to be. But almost every time the command, "Do not be afraid," is followed by the words, "For I will be with you." Do not be afraid, God says, for I will be with you. And Paul says to the young Christians in Thessalonica, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by letter. When things happen that take us by surprise and alarm us, when we feel shaken and afraid, we need to take hold of something to keep us stable, to maintain our balance. We need to take hold of the teachings of Jesus. We need to take hold of the teachings of the Bible, and we need to take hold of the traditions of the church. By traditions of the church, I don't mean our human institutions or our worship styles or our particular preferences. Those will all change from time to time. I mean the doctrinal teaching of the church, based on the teachings of God, then the apostles and Jesus, and we need to hold on to them tightly. In verse 13, Paul reminds the Christians that they are beloved by God. We need to remember this. God loves us. He loves us with an everlasting and unbreakable love. We are eternally loved by God, and his love gives us hope. His love is the thing to hold on to. Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. Hold on to God's love. Secondly, Paul urges us to hold on to our salvation. He says, we are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy, and through your belief in the truth, he called you to the salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is not just about the present, it is about the future. We, you and I, are destined for glory, to be with Jesus forever. Hold on to the hope of your salvation. Thirdly, Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians is this: now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. These verses focus on God's love and grace in Jesus Christ. They give us an eternal perspective. Knowledge of Scripture is not enough. We need to practice it. We need to do it and to talk about it. We need to be comforted by it and calmed by it. And we need to hold on to it. When we start to know the Word of God and practice it, it strengthens our faith. It strengthens our walk with Jesus, and that becomes more real. And then We feel the Holy Spirit revealing more to us. May we hold on to the Word of God in these disquieting times. May we hold on to His love for us and the hope of our salvation. And may we all know God's presence with us today and always. Amen.
Now we move to the intercessions. Lord God, we thank you that you are the God of the living and that we are made alive in you. We thank you that you are a God who longs to listen to his people. Help us not to be ashamed to come to you with not just our words of love and praise, but also with our doubts and fears, knowing that your love for us will never change. Give us the confidence to ask life's hard questions and give us the faith to keep following you no matter what the answers are. Lord, we bring our questions to you.
Give us the courage to be part of the answer.
Lord, when there's so much suffering in the world, it's hard to know which questions and petitions to bring to you first. We bring to you the continent of Africa, so much of which is now on the brink of starvation. We cry out to you to bring relief to the people who have lost so much due to climate change. We continue to remember those suffering from the flooding in Pakistan, cyclones in Central America, and the war-torn lands of the earth, including Yemen, Syria, and Ukraine. We remember those who have died in the crush in South Korea and the bridge collapse in India. Give our government the courage to increase its overseas aid budget, even when there is great need at home. Lord, we bring our questions to you.
Give us the courage to be part of the answer.
Heavenly Father, we pray for our nation with all the turmoil of the last few weeks. Please help our government to have a time of stability so that the needs of the people can be addressed. We pray for all those struggling with the cost of living. We pray that all those of us who have wealth may be quick to share it so that our food banks and warm places are resourced with everything they need. We pray for our health service under extreme pressure. We pray for those workers who are conflicted about whether or not to take strike action. We pray for the migrants risking their lives in small boats and being housed in cramped conditions when they arrive. Give your church the strength to rise up and respond. Lord, we bring our questions to you.
Give us the courage to be part of the answer.
Lord, we pray for all children, young people and students, that their schools, colleges and universities may be places where questioning is welcomed and that they are encouraged to be curious about the world in which they are growing up. We pray that they will find wisdom as well as knowledge. We pray for all those working in fields of science, development and technology, that the questions they ask will bring new treatment for diseases, new ways of living well without spoiling the earth's resources, new ways of working in harmony with the beautiful world that you have created. Lord, we bring our questions to you.
Give us the courage to be part of the answer.
Creator God, we lift up to you the COP27 conference, to you and all those attending. We pray that they will have the wisdom to work towards answering some of the hard questions of climate justice. Give the world's leaders the courage to act decisively and commit to saving this beautiful planet. Help them to see beyond the now and into the future of your world. Help us to be responsible citizens in the way that we care for our small part of the earth. Lord, we bring our questions to you.
Give us the courage to be part of the answer.
We bring to you, Lord, our questioning about those we love who are ill or who have recently died. And we pray for the families and friends of Jenny Edmonds, Alan Hopkins, and Enid Hamadullah. We bring to you in the stillness all those on our hearts who are struggling right now. We think of Jacques, Jen, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Kathy, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Rod, Pippa, Joe, Dave, Jackie, Mary, Helen, John, Sarah, Henrietta, Tony, Donald, Diana. Lord, we bring our questions to you.
Give us the courage to be part of the answer.
Father, go before us into the week ahead, we pray. Enable us to ask the right questions and to listen carefully for the answers. Then lead us on to be your hands and feet, and eyes and ears to everyone we work or live with. And fill us with your strength and comfort and faithfulness to follow wherever you lead.
Lead us forward. Lead us onward. Lead us closer to you. We ask all these questions and prayers in the knowledge that we are heard and loved. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And the collect for the third Sunday before Advent. Almighty Father, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of all, govern the hearts and minds of those in authority and bring the families of the nations divided and torn apart by the ravages of sin, to be subject to his just and gentle rule, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle us in the faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with us always. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. It's been lovely to see and hear you all. We will be back at the same time next week. I hope you have a good week. Just to say that I will be doing something on Zoom and the telephone for once a week during Advent. It would be lovely to join you for that, or for you to join me, in fact, for that. God bless everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.